Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio broadcast. Today is Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. Today, I'm focusing in on the global outrage happening all over the world, and especially in Iran, for women's rights. This is day number 6 of Iranian freedom fighters, mostly women, but joined by men, taking to the streets of Iran to protest the brutal death of Mahsa Amini last week, who was taken into custody by the morality police, who claimed she suffered a heart attack and went into an irreversible brain death. But we know, and sources tell me, and witnesses say that she was beaten to death by the morality police. And, of course, they're covering up their crime, as they always do. I report regularly on the happenings in Iran, and I focus specifically on women's rights. And it was 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago to the very month, that the Iranian protesters took to the street because of the big spike in gas prices, but they also were protesting the oppression for more than 40 years on their souls. And now 3 years later, here we go again. But this time, I think the numbers are bigger. It's spread across 70 cities in 2019, and it's almost equal that same amount this time around. But I want to bring us up to date on exactly what's going on with the protests. And I'm quoting from an article by CNN, who is doing actually a very good job of covering what's happening in Iran. Of course, 3 years ago, if you follow my program and you keep the news in front of you, there was an internet blackout across Iran, and it was during that time, those 2 weeks, that the Iranian militia, the Revolutionary Guard, descended on the protesters, killing them. Innocent, peaceful, most of them protesting, and they were shot and killed. And one count was 1,500 peaceful protesters were murdered. Well, guess what? The Iranian government has done it again. They have now caused a nationwide blackout. Mobile networks have been largely shut down. Access to Instagram and WhatsApp have been restricted, and there has been a near total disruption to internet across parts of Western Kurdistan, which is where Mahsa Amini hails from. And that started Monday evening, and there has been regional blackouts in other parts of the country, including Sandjak and Tehran, the capital. This is a signal about what is about to happen. 3 years ago, Tamanu, who is reported to now be gravely ill with incurable cancer. 3 years ago, Khamenei gave his blessing upon troops, upon the military, upon the police to do what they had to do to stop the protests. Now with this internet blackout happening now, you know exactly what they're going to do. The Minister of Communications warned that there would be internet disruptions for security purposes and discussion related to recent events. They don't want this coverage to be witnessed by the world. Of course, that's too late, but they're doing everything they can. Of course, as I mentioned, the last time there was a blackout was during the mass protests in 2019. Now, this is continuing, and during this blackout, there was a message, actually, from a hacker, from an anonymous hacker to all of Iran. I want you to hear what this message said. We are here, and we are with you. We support your determination for peace against brutality and massacres. We know that your determination stems not from vengeance, but from your longing for justice. All tyrants will fall before your courage. Long live free Iranian women. Now, the hacker collectively also took responsibility for taking down the website of Iran state media news agency Fars. That was early Wednesday morning, according to a tweet from Anonymous. Good for them. The website has, of course, since come back online. Now, the sad news, at least 8 people, including a teenager, have been killed in the recent days with clashes with police in these protests. At least 4 of those 8 died from injuries sustained from security forces firing metal pellets at close range. You can see the backs of some Iranian men. The shirt has been removed, and there has been videotaping of their back peppered with these metal pellets. Eyewitness accounts and videos all over Twitter show a pattern of Iranian security forces unlawfully and repeatedly firing metal pellets directly at protesters. Riot police were mobilized to disperse protesters Wednesday night in the capital, Tehran, and were seen arresting several people, according to eyewitnesses who did not want to be named for security reasons. The riot police have deployed tear gas with a heavy-handed crackdown near Tehran University, said one eyewitness. Another eyewitness in the city's eastern district said protesters were heard shouting, "Death to the dictator," of course, a reference to Iran's supreme leader, and, quote, "I kill anyone who killed my sister," referring, of course, to Mahsa Amini. She has been labeled the daughter of Iran. And this is what's been going on. International activists and leaders are speaking out. The Swedish foreign minister on Wednesday said that Sweden stands with Iranians mourning Amini and demanded that authorities respect their right to peaceful protesters. Germany also called on Iranian authorities to allow peaceful demonstrations and, above all, not to use any further violence. And, of course, for them to be told not to use violence is an oxymoron. They're going to do what they want to do. Now, all of this is taking place with the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi, who has made his way to speak at the United Nations General Assembly. I'm going to report on that in just a few minutes, but I want you to hear some of the sounds of the protest that is happening in Iran. Let's listen.
Protests at the funeral of Mahsa Amini in her hometown in northern Iran. More protests in the capital, Tehran, this one organized by university students. Amini's death has once again exposed tensions between the hardline Islamist regime and a young population yearning for more social freedoms. Many young Iranians are fed up with the morality police, which often uses violence to enforce a strict dress code in public life. My voice trembled when I heard the news, because this has happened to me once or twice. I was thinking, if I suffered the same fate, how would my parents feel?
I am strongly against the morality police, because it's not possible to enforce a cultural issue with violence.
In my opinion, they should remove the obligation to wear the headscarf altogether. The government denies that authorities used force against Amini and released CCTV footage that appears to show her collapsing at a police station.
We have to wait for the results of this woman's medical tests to understand the reason for her death, because apparently she had a series of previous medical problems.
That claim is rejected by Amini's father, who told the press his daughter had no history of illness. The protesters reject not just the regime's version of events, but Iran's system of clerical rule and its brutal enforcers.
This continued narrative is being published all over the media. There is a so-called video footage at Barraza Detention Center that shows Mahsa Amini. The problem is there's a time elapse between morning and evening when this video was shot. One part of the video shows her walking into the detention center. Another part of the video claims to show her passing out or collapsing. And of course, this is the narrative that Iran state media wants to portray to the world, that they had nothing to do with this poor girl's death, that she died of natural causes. A 22-year-old girl suffers a heart attack? Are you kidding me? Of course her father rejected that narrative, and of course she was beaten. Eyewitnesses saw her being shoved into the van, her head hit the archway, and then who knows exactly what happened next as she was shuffled away in this van. But we know, as human rights activists, how women are treated in Iran. There is video footage of past protests of past women who refused to submit to the hijab law being beaten by women and men security forces. It's all over the internet. You can see these videos anytime. We know what happened to this poor girl. And as the protests continue, there are also protests here in the United States of Iranian Americans who are speaking out, especially with the president of Iran speaking at the UN General Assembly. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi spoke yesterday. He slammed Israel, and he called for the prosecution of President Trump, who, of course, had General Soleimani killed in 2020, who was planning to attack our embassy. And, of course, this is all this man had to say. He is not going to say anything about human rights and what happened to Mahsa Amini in Iran. He delivered his first in-person speech at the United Nations General Assembly in New York on Wednesday, calling for the prosecution of former U.S. President Donald Trump over the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, and he blasted Israel as an occupying savage power. I'm quoting now from an article by the Foreign Desk. During his address, Raisi, which is, of course, known as the Butcher of Tehran, held up a picture of the former commander of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps killed by the U.S. in 2020 in Iraq. Raisi demanded that Trump face justice by a fair tribunal for what he called a savage, immoral crime. Remember, that's all that this man can talk about is revenge for the death of Soleimani. He's not going to talk about the incredible, deplorable abuse and the death of Mahsa Amini. Now, at some point, Israel's ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, walked out to protest Raisi's denial of the Holocaust. He had an interview with Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes earlier in the week. Diplomatic efforts are still underway to restore the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. But Raisi accused the U.S. of having trampled upon the original agreement and insisted that his country has been very serious in negotiations to salvage it. He also slammed Israel, saying that the region has never seen an occupying savage power such as the Zionist regime. The killing of children and women is on the report card of the Zionist regime. The New York Times quoted Raisi saying, really? He's going to talk about the killing of children and women by Israel when he has his own people killed in Iran? Are you kidding me? Now, in light of what he said, of course, as I've been reporting this morning, protests are nationwide in Iran in more than 70 cities. Women, of course, are burning their hijabs, they're cutting their hair, they're dancing, and they're protesting the death of Mahsa Amini. Even men are joining in to support women. The crowd has been chanting anti-regime slogans such as death to the dictator in all of their protests. Now, as he was speaking, protests also took place outside UN headquarters in New York throughout the whole day. One female demonstrator, her name is Ellie, told All Israel News she was demonstrating because of her own encounter with Iran's dress code when she lived in Iran. An Iranian student, she has been living here for 3 years. Ellie lost her job as a physics teacher in Iran for not wearing a headscarf, and she was arrested at that time. She says, I got arrested in Iran 4 years ago for just wearing a hat instead of a scarf. They treated me so bad. They arrested us in some hallway and asked us to call our parents to bring us something to wear. Ellie added that she does not feel her family is safe in Iran. I don't know if the next person they're going to kill will be my sister, Ellie says. Raisi offered condolences to Amini's family and, of course, has promised an investigation into the matter. But during his speech, he accused Western countries of having, quote, double standards on women's rights. This comes from the man who upgraded the video surveillance this past July in Iran to target women who are not wearing their hijab properly, putting their picture on the internet, and denying them access to banks and public transportation if caught. And this is also the man who represents the UN Council for Women's Rights in Iran. There is a Council for Women's Rights in Iran. And it's just deplorable to hear him talk about double standards. During the General Assembly, Erdogan left, and he protested Raisi's denial of the Holocaust. Because in a recent interview with 60 Minutes, Raisi said there are only some signs the Nazi-led Holocaust of the Jews happened. They always try to deny this event, just like Ahmadinejad did when he was president. So Erdogan placed a picture of his grandmothers, survivors of the Auschwitz death camp, who had both lost family members during the Holocaust, next to Israel's sign in the UN General Assembly Hall. He had this picture. And here's what Erdogan said. The UN has descended to a new moral low today. While in Iran, the Ayatollah regime oppresses its citizens, murders women who do not cover their heads, and finances terror attacks around the world, here at the United Nations, which was established to prevent such atrocities, the president of Iran, the murderer, and Holocaust denier Raisi gets a platform to spread his hatred. And he is exactly right on about what he has to say publicly about this president who has been given by the Biden administration, by the State Department, a visa and a platform to continue to spread his hatred. I want to now feature a short soundbite of some Iranian Americans just about in the last 24 hours who have been speaking out about what's happening in Iran and about this grievous crime of allowing this president a platform to speak at the United Nations. Let's listen.
On Iranian Americans are raising awareness about alleged human rights abuses in their homeland. KKL 9's Rick Montanez is live in Westwood, where activists staged a demonstration. Rick?
And Pat, good evening. A large and passionate protest out here in Westwood tonight. Iranian Americans are working to amplify the call for freedom. They're demanding human rights from more than 7,000 miles away.
Hundreds of protesters chanting for freedom and peace outside of the federal building in Westwood.
The Iranian-American community in Los Angeles is large, and we're very passionate about the rights of women in Iran.
The protest is in direct response to the death of Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old Iranian woman who died in police custody. Officials say she was arrested by the so-called morality police.
Just for nothing. Just for nothing. Just for her scarf. You know? She didn't anything bad.
CBS News reports Amini was arrested for wearing her headscarf or hijab in an improper way. A photo shows her in a coma at a hospital. Activists say she was beaten in police custody. Government officials denied the claim of abuse, but in a rare move ordered an investigation into her death.
The hijab is used as a weapon in Iran. It is a weapon against the West, and women are used as pawns.
Amini's death sparked deadly protests in Iran. Social media videos show some women being detained at the protest, shoved into patrol cars, even as their loved ones plead for their release. There's also video of women burning their hijabs and others cutting their hair in protests. Here, protesters are drawing a connection to civil unrest in the U.S.
We're tired of seeing law enforcement be overly aggressive there, much like we don't like seeing it here.
Let this be the George Floyd moment of Iran. Please amplify her story, because the Iranian government has shut down the internet in Iran.
I think it's our responsibility to help them to get their voice out there, or to their voice to be heard.
And the group saying choosing tonight as a protest as well against the Iranian president, speaking today in New York City at the UN General Assembly. The ultimate message here, though, is for freedom in Iran as it is here. Reporting live in Westwood, Rick Montanez, KCAL 9 News.
Rick, thank you.
Of course, as I have said time and time again, and the Iranian-American community in Los Angeles is exactly right on, we take our freedoms so much for granted here. And the one thing I want to point out in this broadcast today that angers me so much is, where are the voices of Western feminists? Where are the voices of the so-called women of America that cry out all the time, we're so oppressed, we have no rights? All they need to do is look directly at Iran and remember Mahsa Amini. Her crime was just showing a little bit of hair and wearing her hijab improperly. And look at what happened to her. How dare them ever claim that their rights here are being trampled on. They have no idea what human rights are all about until they look in the face of the daughter of Iran, Mahsa Amini, who was showing just a little bit of hair. And the morality police decided she doesn't have a right to live. Western feminists want to always claim that we are oppressed here. And they're only thinking of reproductive rights, and they're not oppressed. Again, the Supreme Court gave the jurisdiction for abortion and the debate to the states. There's no such thing as abortion being overturned. It's just been sent to the states. So how dare them say how oppressed they are? All they need to do is speak up for this 22-year-old girl who didn't live to see her 23rd birth because of her hair. Speaking of hair, I want to direct our attention now to a champion for human rights, Masih Alinejad. She's an Iranian-American journalist, And she started the Stealthy Freedom Movement about 8 years ago in Iran, where women would send pictures of taking their hijab off and displaying their thirst for freedom while living in Iran. And Masih would publish their pictures and their faces up on her website for Stealthy Freedom. She is a very outspoken person about the atrocities that happened in Iran. She has never forgotten her people, even though she doesn't live there anymore. And on Instagram, you see her videos almost every day of women fighting for human rights in Iran. Just recently, she was asked on a panel about what's happening in Iran. Let's listen to that discussion.
Masih, I'm going to begin with you. Many would say that this is a moment where women have called to say that enough is enough in Iran. What are you picking up from the ground? Is Mahsa Amini's killing almost like a turning point for women in Iran in their fight against hijab?
I strongly believe that the brutal death of Mahsa Amini, the way that she was murdered by Iranian regime, now it's a turning point for Iranian women. Because Iranian women are fed up. They don't think that Mahsa is going to be last one. You know, for years and years, Iranian women get lashed, get bitten up in the street, harassed, jailed, kicked out from school, university, everywhere, just because of showing a little bit of their hair. Can you believe that? This is 21st century. Yeah. And when Mahsa was arrested, then she went in a coma, people were just furious, because she was not even participating in any protest. She was just, a young woman full of life, ambition, kind-hearted person. She had a lot of dreams, and she didn't do anything wrong to deserve to be murdered by hijab police in Iran. That is why Iranian women now are taking to the street alongside men and chanting against the whole regime. They're saying enough is enough.
Yes. And I hope more and more women join in this fight and say enough is enough. Masih, is this happening throughout Iran, throughout the country, or are these protests limited only in certain pockets?
Look, Mahsa is a Kurdish girl. So the city of Saqqal is full of anger. People came to the street first from her home city, Saqqal, then Sanandaj took to the street, then Tehran. Now that I'm talking to you, students in Amir Kabir University, Beheshti University, Tehran University, they are in the street. You can see the videos that how they are being attacked by security forces. Look, let me tell you something. Iranian regime made a video clip to show the rest of the world that they didn't bitten up Mahsa Amini. But how ironic right now, the security forces bit up people in the street, opened fire at peaceful protesters to convince them that they didn't bitten up Mahsa. So you see, biting people, killing them, torturing them is in the DNA of the Islamic Republic. Now women and men alongside each other, they take to the street, women remove their hijab, and men supporting them because they believe that if they keep silent, then more women will be the victim of the Islamic Republic. The main slogan in the street is death to dictator. They even call the Islamic Republic like an ISIS. They say that Islamic Republic is our ISIS. And they are right. Look, as a girl from the age of 7, if you don't cover yourself, you won't be able to go to school. You won't be able to get a job. You won't be able to live, to exist. You know, I'm for freedom of choice, and I cannot believe that Mahsa, young woman, got killed just because of wanting to choose her own lifestyle. This is unfair, and the world must show their solidarity with Iranian women right now.
Yes, and the world is standing with the Iranian women right now as we see those visuals of resistance coming in from across Iran.
That is Masih Alinejad. She is the founder of the Stealthy Freedom Women and also the author of the book, The Wind in My Hair. She lived in Iran. She understands exactly the oppression of women there. And she's exactly right. Murder and brutality is in the DNA of this government, of this regime. I want to now read something very special from the editor-in-chief of the Independent Persian. Her name is Camelia Ekteberfard. She is a Facebook friend, and I've corresponded with her before. This piece is a beautifully written piece. It's entitled, Masa's Name is Now a Code for Freedom and Solidarity for Iranians. And I want to read this to you because I think it describes and puts into words a beautiful tribute to the movement that is happening now in Iran. Camelia writes, a young and innocent girl was hunted down on the streets of Tehran. In her innocent dreams, Masa Amini never thought the entire Iran will rise up in her name. The blows received by this young and lonely girl felt like they had been aimed at the entire Iranian people. The blood that came from Masa's ear was the blood of our Iran, whose body is wounded and sick these days. Masa showed our desperate state. She reminded us that the nation is in danger. The women of our country are in chains and under strangulation. We were reminded that this could happen to all women and men of the country and that the government won't be responsible. Her mother said her name was a secret code. Even thinking of what the mother said and her prediction of events to come shakes us to our core. We see that in less than 3 days, Iran has risen to avenge her blood and demand national sovereignty. The key to this code is solidarity of the Iranian nation and support of all groups and parties inside and outside the country for each other and their support for the people's movement against the authoritarian, misogynist, and destructive government of Iran. Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi's declaration of solidarity with Masa's family and 2 days of national mourning is an important action to alleviate those who for 40 years have not received any empathy. No one has spoken of their pain. Many of the valiant youth have been sent to death, each in their own way, by these guardians of hell without their families even finding an opportunity for their burial. Nightly burial of victims in a secularized atmosphere and under the supervision of regime goons has become an ordinary matter. But Masa Amini broke this cycle. Our Kurdish compatriots didn't tolerate a lonely nocturnal burial for Masa. Our country is one of civilization and history. Our people were full of happiness and poetry not long ago, and their concerns was about the completion of their offspring in the classroom, their higher education, and their marriage ceremonies. But now they live a catastrophe and have to be in a daily fight with the goons of this regime. They'd be lucky if they can make ends meet. Regret has become an inseparable part of lives of many Iranians. Many others have to live through separation from family, migration, and life away from home. Others are so mired in poverty that they end up seeing suicides or drugs as a solution for their endless problems. Those who are protesting are either killed or die in prisons to suspicious death. Where in the world are youth buried overnight with cement poured over their graves? A nightmare for these hunters of humans is that grieving families would open up graves to see their bodies. Nafid Afkatari, a young violent man, was hanged to be a lesson for other protesters. Holly Sahabi received a blow in her father's funeral, but it was said that she had had a heart attack and was buried overnight. The same group beat Sara Kazemi, Sitar Beheshti, and dozens of others in the head. In demonstrations, if they were attacked with blows to the head, they wouldn't kill enough people. This is why they resort to shooting. And this is how they killed Netta Agasultan. Iran shed tears for Netta. For years, Iran has been shedding tears for hundreds of other protesters who were killed. Tears for victims of nightly burials. This is a beautiful piece written in tribute to Mahsa Amini. And we need to pay attention to the writing of Camellia, because she touches us in the heart. She gets us where we hurt the most. This is a plan to destroy Iran, the great nation of Iran. And the world needs to stop being silent. Mahsa Amini's life was brief, but it will prove to be memorable. She reminded us that the nation and homeland are under threat. To commemorate the first victims, Camellia writes, of freedom at the outset of the Constitutional Revolution, Aref Khazini wrote a most beautiful song 100 years ago, "From the Blood of the Nation's Youth, Tulips Will Grow. Out of the beauty, out of the ashes of suffering, God will cause beauty to rise." As a human rights activist and a voice for the Iranian people, there is a particular psalm I use all of the time in my prayer time and in speaking out for them. It's Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14 from the New Living Translation. God promises he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. I believe the claim, the beautiful words of this psalm, that God hears the cries of the oppressed. He will come to their aid. He will defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy. He will rescue in violence. He has a plan for the nation of Iran. There are millions of Iranians who have turned to Christ for salvation to find hope and freedom in him. And I know that God has a plan for the future of Iran. The Bible says so. And I know he hears the cries of the oppressed. And so God's word is true. There is coming a day for salvation and democracy to this troubled nation. And I know, after speaking out for more than 11 years, that God will bring glory and salvation to this nation of oppression. I know he will. I want to end our program today with a song by Paul McCartney. This is a powerful song that speaks and is a voice for all Iranian protesters. It's what they have in their hearts and on their minds as they scream and cry against Mahsa's death. They want freedom. This is Paul McCartney and Freedom.
This is my right. A right given by God to live a free life, to live in freedom. Talking about freedom. I'm talking about freedom. I will fight for the right to live in freedom. Anyone tries to take it away will have to answer.
That is the anthem song from Sir Paul McCartney entitled Freedom. This is all that the Iranian people want. It's that seven-letter word that defines who we are as American citizens, the greatest nation on earth. And why is the Biden administration burying the issue of human rights in order to have a nuclear deal with a terrorist regime? It baffles the mind. It baffles the imagination that these kinds of political decisions are being made while the people of Iran are suffering deplorable acts of inhumanity and injustice against them. A young girl made a decision one day to walk with her brother through the streets of Iran, and the morality police thought that her hair was showing too much, and thus the result, her brutal death, and this is the result, worldwide recognition for human rights, something good has coming out of something so evil. But we need to support the Iranian people, the young people of Iran who are rising up, putting their lives on the line for that seven-letter word called freedom. Let's give them a voice. Let's do what the media is not doing enough of, and that is tell their story. Please share this radio broadcast on your timeline. Please continue to pray for them. Please believe me, God hears and answers our cries and our prayers for them because he cares about the oppressed. He cares about the suffering people of Iran. I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Cross in the Desert. Keep my Iranian friends in your prayers, and please continue to raise your voice for women's rights in Iran. Have yourself a great weekend. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.